I came to originally to Wisconsin in Monroe about 3 weeks ago, and I said, I am not here as your pastor. I'm not here as your presbyter. I'm not here as your superintendent. I'm just here. And so today, I thank God. Now, he said, you know, just a saint. I thank God for you people out there. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles today, I'd like for you to turn to the prophet Isaiah. I'm certainly grateful for the presence of God that I feel in this house, in worship, in singing the song choices, and just the overall wonderful atmosphere. And I also thank God at 5:30 this morning in our hotel room for that same atmosphere that was there. Amen. That I almost danced. I almost shouted. I didn't think the people that were on each side of us would appreciate that. But I just thank God that His Spirit is real anywhere. Anywhere. Amen. Isaiah 40 and verse 31 says, very familiar scripture, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. In the 59th chapter of the prophet Isaiah, beginning with verse 19, I'm reading this time in the New King James Version. In the middle of the 19th verse, it says, and when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. And as for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord, my spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, until the Lord, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Somebody say amen. Amen. I come to you this morning, and I want to preach on this subject about the rescuer. The rescuer. Would you put your Bibles down? Would you lift up your hands and your voices? And let's all pray together that God would have his way in this house today. Amen. Father, we are certainly grateful. How grateful, God, we are of your goodness. As the song that we sang, Lord, we can't earn this. We don't deserve this. But God, out of your love and out of your grace and mercy for us, we just pray that, God, that you would take your word today and that you would place it and plant it in the heart of each and every one of your people. And God, I pray that those, God, that may be here today that do not know you, Lord God, before they leave, dear Lord Jesus, will know you as Lord and Savior of their life. In the power of the name that is above every name, at the name of Jesus Christ we pray. And everybody said amen. Why don't you clap your hands unto the Lord? Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. For a person to be a rescuer, they need to have somebody to rescue or something to rescue. Webster defines the word rescued as to free from confinement, danger, or evil. I don't know if you have kept up. I don't normally preach on current events, but God just got a hold of my heart on this one. The world's eyes these last few weeks had been focused on a young Thailand soccer team. After a routine soccer practice, as an initiation for their new team, their coach decided that they would explore inside a cave. They traveled some 2.5 miles inside it and going down over 1.5 mile deep beneath the surface of the earth. However, while exploring on the outside of the cavern, a monsoon rain began to fall. The caverns that they had hiked through quickly became flooded with water and were impassable. And soon, this young team, basically just boys, found themselves trapped. Now, that very word brings up imaginations of being inhibited, of being bound, completely unable to move freely about. And one of the definitions of that word is an unpleasant situation from which it is hard to escape. Their soccer coach, a 25-year-old man, had directed them into that cave. But why? How many times have you and I, as human beings, how many times do we get ourselves into particular predicaments by just being curious? There's an old non-biblical proverb that states, curiosity killed. You heard it. It's used to warn of the dangers of unnecessary investigation or experimentation. Church, can I remind you this morning that curiosity can kill you? It can bring us harm. It can bring forth destruction. The dictionary defines it as a strong desire to know or learn something. And in light of this current event, I truly feel strongly in the Holy Ghost to bring you a message about being trapped and then rescued by the rescuer. If you go back into the Old Testament in the book of 1 Samuel, we find King Saul feeling just what this young soccer team was feeling. He was feeling trapped. He felt insecure as to what to do. I'm reading from 1 Samuel 13 and verse 5. It says, "And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel. 30,000 chariots." Now, that's a lot of chariots. "And 6,000 horsemen. And people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude, and they came up and pitched in Michmash eastward from Bethaven. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, they were in a predicament, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and in high places and pits. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal. And all the people followed him trembling. And he tarried," verse 8 says, 7 days, according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Saul came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him." Now, just 7 days prior to this scenario, the prophet Samuel evidently had told Saul that he would meet with him. And when the seventh day came, and he still wasn't there, but the seventh day was still not finished, King Saul felt trapped. 36,000 plus Philistines surrounding the soldiers of Israel. Saul felt he had to do something. So the Bible tells us Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. Saul knew that he needed God's help. Anybody in this house know you need God's help? And in his fearfulness, he felt abandoned by Samuel. So feeling trapped, he panicked and proceeded to do what was not lawful for him to do. Saul was not a priest. He was a king. So he took matters into his own hands and sacrificed a burnt offering. And as soon as he did, the scripture relates that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together in Mishmash. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself therefore and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. For thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would have the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But, you see, Saul had a lack of patience. Don't we just love patience? And in his unwillingness to wait, it cost him his throne and eventually his life because he felt trapped. I don't suppose there's anybody in this room that has ever felt themselves in a situation where you felt like you were trapped. But you see, Saul's faith had a self-made time limit. And he disobeyed the Lord. Brothers and sisters, put into perspective these trapped boys. As the water flooded the cave and they realized that they were trapped, I am sure that their coach, even the young players themselves, never dreamed in their wildest thoughts. Did they ever imagine that as they walked into that cave, that they would not be able to walk out? Just like King Saul, I'm positive they didn't plan on being trapped. Yet how many of us, out of plain curiosity, in our own lives, prior even to Jesus Christ, ventured to wander into taking that first drink of alcohol, that first drag of the weed, that first hit of an illicit drug. Perhaps it was that first look at pornography, or was it that first wink of a flirting eye, or that first ingested bit of bitterness, or that first decision not willing to forgive, or was it that first attitude of pride? None of us ever planned to get trapped. We never planned to get trapped. Folks, I learned a long time ago that sin will cost you more than what you wanted to pay. It'll keep you longer than what you wanted to stay. And it will kill us. We know that curiosity killed us. If we're all honest today, amen. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So I know that there's not one of us here today that didn't venture into some kind of cave of sin, thinking that you could very easily come back out. But somewhere along the line, you got trapped in there. The Apostle Paul wrote, for all have sinned. We know that we were trapped. And if we be honest this morning, we never thought that there would ever then be a way out. And you know why? That there's so many people today that are committing suicide, and so many people today that are so strung out on heroin, and so many people today that are involved in all this junk that's going on today is because they don't see any hope. They don't see any way out. They don't see that there is any solution to their situation. But my friend, I want you to know there's a rescuer in the house today. That soccer coach could have made a very grave mistake in trying to lead those boys back out of that cave through and under the water, not knowing what to expect. He could have led them all to their deaths, but he didn't. He simply had them wait. I don't think I need to instruct you about how hard it is for us humans to have the patience to wait. You and I have been socially engineered for obtaining instant results. We want what we want, and we want it now. Can I get a witness here? You see, a lack of patience is simply a human curse, and that has led many to their own destruction. Jesus said, "In your patience, possess ye your souls." You see, those boys waited 10 long days. Now, mind you, I don't know if they had flashlights or not, but somewhere along the line, the batteries went dead. Somewhere along the line, the darkness fell. And if you've ever been inside of a cave, amen, when the lights are completely out, you can't see anything. You might as well be blind. They didn't have any food. They were literally licking the moisture off the rock walls for water. And then suddenly, emerging from the absolute darkness, came up to the water's surface showing light. And the rescuers had found them. And with that light came an instant hope. And I'm here to tell somebody here today that there is light in this house. I said there is light in this house. Amen. It brought hope to all those that were trapped inside. Their recovery, however, was not just instantaneous. It wasn't a matter, now come on guys and follow me out of here. No, my friend, there appeared what seemed to be impossible odds of getting those young boys out. Some of them were so young, they didn't even know how to swim, let alone use sophisticated diving gear. But they did not give up. Mankind did not give up on them. And either did God. You see, a plan was developed. They were racing against time, and they had to take a step of faith. Can you believe not one of them? I mean, if you look at our social arena today, not one of them stated that the chances of escape was too great. Not one said, I'll stay here. I'll stay right where I am, and I'll just take my chances. No, not one. Why? Because they knew that this was now going to be their only chance. So I come to you this morning, for those of you that are perhaps still trapped in the bonds of your sin, I offer you your only hope today, your only way out. And upon the authority of Scripture, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I don't know about you, but he brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on a rock to stay. He puts a song in my soul today, a song of praise. Hallelujah. Jesus has given us a plan for our rescue. Church, the rescue of these young boys was not without sacrifice. Matter of fact, one of the rescuers gave his very life in trying to help these kids. He was trying. Listen to this. I tell you, this came in like a flood to me. He was trying to set up a lifeline, a place reserved where he could place reserved oxygen tanks along the escape route. Brothers and sisters, you and I are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live. Yet not us, but Christ liveth in us. And the life which we now live in the flesh, we live by the faith of the Son of God who loves us and gave himself for us. Jesus gave of himself that we might receive, amen, heavenly oxygen called the Holy Ghost. Also speaking to his disciples, Jesus prior to his ascension, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait. Everybody say, wait. Say it again. For the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. My friends, Jesus Christ is not a 12-step recovery program to bring you deliverance from your entrapment. No, he is the one and only rescuer, the one and only Savior. He died for us. He sacrificed his blood for you and I. He doesn't want you to be trapped one day further. He wants to set you free. Because when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord, hallelujah. I don't care if he's trying to attack your health. I don't care if he's trying to attack your wealth. I don't care if he's trying to attack your faith. When the enemy comes in like a flood and you feel like you're trapped, isn't it easy to worship God when everything's going good? Isn't it easy to worship God when all the bills are paid and, amen, you still got some money in the bank? Amen. Isn't it easy to worship God when you feel healthy and wealthy and wise? Amen. But I'll tell you, when all of a sudden the props begin to be pulled out, amen, and all of a sudden you don't have health, all of a sudden you may not have the money you thought you had, you may not have the prestige you thought you had, and amen, the enemy is trying his best to destroy your faith. I'm telling you, church, Apostolic Faith Church, I'm telling you, wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Said that they strung a lifeline 2.5 miles into that cave. Amen. And then, praise God, they got a buddy system. Come here, Brother Bear. Come here, Brother Portman. Amen. Amen. They didn't just let those kids try that on their own. They had those masks over them, the oxygen to breathe. These are professional divers. Praise God. You know what, folks? You know, you can't see them, but do you know that there are some angels that have been in charge of your welfare and of your indeed? Amen. If you'll just be patient enough, the Bible says, amen, praise God, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, amen. surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I want you to help me. I just wanted to know if you were really meant it or not. Don't you pity the guy who's going to have to carry my casket? And there they were. Come on, we're getting out of here, guys. You know, it's that lifeline. It's that lifeline. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And one by one, I had last Sunday, I had the church at POSC. Oh, well, you know, these are all Buddhists. I don't care if they're atheists. I knew that they're only boys, and I knew that God could help them. And I had the church pray for them. I'm telling you, folks, God is not willing that any should be lost, but that all should come to repentance. My God, I hope I'm never a professional apostolic. Why? Because we've got to have a sensitivity. I want to help you make it to the end. Hello? Your pastor, Brother Schumacher. Amen. On the other side. Do you realize that this is what the ministry is? Oh, don't you know that we just like to boss people around? Don't you know that we just like to tell people what they should do? Don't you know that we just like to tell people of how they should dress and where they should go and all of that? Are you kidding me? There's a plan in this thing to get us out of here. Praise God. And God is using the ministry. We're going one step at a time. We're going one step at a time. But there's going to eventually be a light at the end of the tunnel. Stand with me today. You're not saved by accident, my friend. How easy is it for us to forget where we used to be? Huh? What were you involved in? What were you trapped in? What did you think you could never get out of? And somebody came by. Somebody came by and threw out a lifeline. And that his name is Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Savior, the Rescuer of the world. And those kids, that first four that got out, they were smiling. They were rejoicing. Oh, they were weak, sure. And rightfully so, protected them from the press and immediately got them in an ambulance, took them to a hospital. But you see, they were happy. They were excited because the lost had become the found. Look around this room. You see any happy people in here today? You see any appreciated people here today? That appreciates where they came from or what they came out of and how God brought them out. I dare say, if all of a sudden we just flash one of your names up there on the screen, And then we just started telling you what you came out of. How many would volunteer to do that? Really, not too many of us would. But that's the beauty about our God. Not only did he bring us out, but he took away our shame. He took away our shame. It's why if we keep on reminding him what we used to be, he's looking down going, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? You're a new creature. You've been rescued. They said that there were some areas through that passageway that they couldn't even get the tanks with a body through it. So they had to trust. When all of a sudden the oxygen was removed to hurriedly get through that passageway and to put it back on them. I'm talking about kids that didn't panic, but they went all the way. And I'm talking to some kids today. I don't care if you're 68. I don't care if you're 78. I'm talking to God's kids today. Hallelujah. That God has rescued us. He's rescued us. Brighton, you're such a beautiful girl. Brought up in this church all your life. Got great dad and mom, Portmans. You know what? You needed a rescuer. I needed a rescuer. And every one of us in this room needed a rescuer. He is our lifeline. He'll lead you out. He'll clean you up. He'll deliver you. The plan has already been written. If you want to be rescued, then just simply wait upon the Lord. It was reported. Amen. I haven't heard any late reports, but all I know is if you're here today and you really don't know Jesus Christ, perhaps you're somebody that needs to be let out this morning. You need a fresh touch of God's grace and his mercy. Somebody needs to rejoice this morning. Grab hold of his grace, for he has already made the way for you. For if the Son hath made you free, if the Son hath made you free, then you are free indeed. You want to come and worship your rescuer today? You really want to come? Hallelujah, Jesus. Your healer, your deliverer, your helper, your provider. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, God, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, God. Let him set you free. Let him rescue you afresh. Hallelujah. Lifting up holy hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.